Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Yes, g'day all. Lovely to be with you on a Saturday afternoon. And the big news, of course, is the band is back together. Last week, Ryan Girdler and me, Tony Squires, we basically held the fort together. This week, though, Wendell Saylor, yeah. Emma Lawrence. Welcome back, team.
Great to have us back,
it's
I know.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, Emma, I saw you over in Perth.
I was over in Perth working hard.
Yeah, I know. Well, you were there for, like, you were there all week.
I was there. It was very fun. We had a lot of fun, worked hard during the day and beautiful. Enjoyed ourselves at night.
I saw you went to an AFL game on the Thursday night.
We did. Thank you to Arthur Stanley. He hooked us up all the journos with tickets and a great seat. We got looked after.
Did
food,
Reedy go?
Drink.
Did Reedy go?
Did you watch the game?
Reedy.
What was Reedy doing? Life of the party, Reedy. What was he doing?
Did he come to the... I don't think
no,
Reedy
he didn't.
Actually he didn't in the end.
He's a bit crook, I heard.
Yeah. Oh, he was. So we went hard the first night. Monday night, we had a big night. And then Reedy was showing his age and he said, oh, my throat's sore. I've got a temperature. So he went and spent hundreds of dollars at the chemist. And then couple of days later, he came good again and started coming out again with us. James Hooper goes well.
Oh, yeah, I know Hoops. Hoops has been known to enjoy enjoy a bevy or two.
Was that a couple of hundred bucks at the chemist? Is that what they call it in Perth?
I love it. Very fun, Em. Very fun. Is that grammatically correct? It was very fun.
Yeah, very
it
fun.
Was,
yeah.
From someone who got 90. What
was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
0.05.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask your brother later. He's coming home, isn't he?
No, well, we enjoyed ourselves.
Yeah. Well done,
it was a lot of fun.
And
is
New South
better?
Wales won.
It was a lot
much.
Of fun. New South Wales won.
Well done to you guys. I know, I've been in here and I've sort of bragged a bit when we won the first game and I knew the series wasn't over.
Yep.
New South Wales were very good.
Yeah, they were. We're not going to brag, though, because we're humble.
It's interesting that, isn't it? Because that was one of the things Phil Gould said during the game, that New South Wales wins poorly. That they do tend to celebrate and, you know, then the next game is troublesome. So he was kind of holding off and hopefully, the Blues are as well. We've got plenty of time to chat about State of Origin, who comes in, who goes out. Kevy Walters will join us during the show.
Oh, can't
haven't spoken to him since Origin began, so looking forward to that immensely. Dil, last week, apart from going to Perth for Origin, last Saturday you were, in fact, with Tristan, his celebrations for 21st. How'd that go?
His 21st. Tara and I, you know, wonderful parents we are, and we organised his 21st on Saturday.
We organised it, did we?
Oh, well, mainly Tara. Mm-hmm. And then you know how I come in and sort of...
Co-parent.
Yeah, and do the glory stuff.
Yeah.
So I said, Tara, look, you just enjoy the day.
Yep.
So we went down to Ulladulla, Cupid's Vineyard. I think you've been
there. It's a winery down there.
Yeah, winery. Really beautiful. So, but I'm thinking, what 21-year-old wants to go to a winery? Obviously, Tristan, because he's... Yeah.
Of course you're going to go to a winery.
At 21? But anyway, so we had about 40 friends and obviously more Tristan's friends and some of the older people to keep Tara company.
Yeah.
And I had to organise drinks on the bus and make sure everyone was all right, the music and stuff. So it was a really good day. But then I hated coming back because when we came back, I had to sort of shut it down like at 6 o'clock. So it wasn't my day because I had to fly out the next morning at 8 o'clock.
All right. So did you make everybody shut down at 6 o'clock?
No, no, no. I let everyone just go and just do what they wanted to do. And
did you make a speech? Was there an official section for the afternoon?
Tara made a speech and I just let her sort of have that moment. Right. And yeah.
Were there any tears?
Oh, yeah, there was plenty of tears.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, on Wednesday, it was Tara's birthday, so expensive week for me, that's for sure.
Actually, can I just, while we're on the topic of what we did last week, I just mentioned Brent Reed before, but I've decided I would like to throw him under the bus because the highlight of the week, we were at dinner. We were, I think James Hooper may have mentioned it on the Sunday show, but we should throw him under the bus again.
Mm-hmm.
We were out for dinner with a bunch of about 15 journos. Reedy had only had one or two beers and out of nowhere we were saying he was, you know, had a bit of chest hair and he just said, you know what, I'm thinking about shaving or manscaping downstairs to make my bits look bigger.
That's what
Brent Reed said of nowhere.
I told you, look, it's since he's had that helicopter sort of junket and that, it's sort of gone to his head a bit. He's not the Reedy that
we've... It's gone more further than his head, it seems.
And then we said, what do you mean? And he revealed he'd never done anything in that department and he was surprised that he was the only one not manscaping and then he was asking, well, how much do you do? What kind of style? What kind of design?
What kind of style?
So, gee, you journalists have a lot of fun when
don't
you go out.
Yeah, jeez.
So, and every time someone new came to the table, then Dan Ganane arrived late and then it was brought up again and we had another half an hour on the manscaping. Oh,
he's totally waxed.
Danny.
Actually, and Dan, I've got to say, Dan Ganane too. I mean, he is looking great at the moment. He's feel, I think he's lost about 40 kilos.
Yeah, he has. And that was just in body hair. we've got plenty to get to. I also want to talk to you shortly about your game of touch footy on Thursday night, which may also feed into the notion of what is going on at Bankwest in terms of the surface. It looks as slippery as all get out. We'll get to that very shortly as well. The Dragons' Tarek Sims now faces missing State of Origin, the decider. He'll contest that, I think, next Tuesday, that dangerous contact charge. We'll get there. Eye gouging, it's all on, and it's brother v. sister. Emma Lawrence single-handedly interviews Chris Lawrence any minute. All ahead. Excellent to start a weekend with a win by the Dragons. Looking at that Taipau scoreboard over the Cowboys, 22 points to 14 in beautiful Wollongong, the early game last night. A bit of drama came out of it. So before we get into looking at the nuts and bolts of the game, let's have a listen to, I do love a coach's spat, when the coaches actually go at each other. We haven't had a lot of that over recent times. Sure, coaches going individually at referees or whatever. But last night, Paul Green from the Cowboys wasn't at all happy about Tarek Sims and the tackle on Michael Morgan, which put Michael Morgan in the HIA, of course, which he failed. And the Cowboys struggled a bit after that. Here is what Green had to say after the game.
I thought it was late and high. You know, they brought it up at in the NRL about, you know, protecting ball players after they play, but, you know, they see it a different way there tonight.
So there's Paul Green, late and high, he says, not happy about the tackle at all. We'll get to what happened with the tackle in a second. Let's have a listen to the Dragons coach, Paul McGregor, answering that.
He blows up about a fair bit, eh? Had to go at Freddie last week too, didn't he? Got a lot to say. I'm comfortable, with the tackle. Yeah. Absolutely. He wrapped his arms around him. How can you stop in that momentum?
He actually said, zip it.
He should
zip it.
And I think he's referring to, isn't he, Green, Green. You know, Green had a go at Freddie for coming out and saying he'd like to have a look at the Josh
McGuire
tackle at the end of the game that got Maloney. And that's, I think, where so the reference there.
Absolutely,
from Mary.
That's right.
And I believe, that... I know he's got what's been the handing down from
two weeks would get for a dangerous.
He's got to fight it.
So he has to go to the
that's excessive.
Judiciary.
I don't think there was much. I think Morgan dug into the line and
it wasn't late. He left there.
Yeah, he was spoken
about.
How
could he not have pulled out of that?
What do you do?
We said it on the call at the time. Myself, MG agreed. Dan asked us. And I reckon when he left at the right time. If it was like a fraction later, there's probably a case. And when he left, he's in the motion. You can't pull out of that tackle. And I know that he's saying he got him in the head and that, but if I was Tarek Sims, I'd contest it. I think he'll get off.
He'll definitely contest it on Tuesday night.
You've got it, mate. I don't want to see someone miss an origin for that. I know you can't bring that into it.
We all do bring it in. We say, how is that tackle worthy of missing a State of Origin decider? Because no game really.
Absolutely not, Tony. Yeah. It can't happen. It can't happen.
But that regardless of missing Origin, it's just not. He shouldn't miss any game.
No.
Because he couldn't pull out of it. And there's a height difference too between he and Michael Morgan. So there was no way. Yeah, there was contact. But sometimes there are going to be accidents and it's a contact sport. And I don't see how.
And because they brought.
That should be charged.
Because they've brought, I think that and what was the other one? The crusher tackle.
Yep.
They sort of brought that on the spotlight this week. Now, instantly, straight away, they're looking at the first opportunity to sort of go hard. I just think they shouldn't have charged him.
Well, it'll be interesting, won't it? And look, we're going to get to the discussion on CTE and what's happened, the discovery of a couple of former NRL players who post-mortem their brains. They have found that they suffered CTE. So there's always going to be, and always has, I mean, the protocols the NRL is going through in terms of concussion and protecting the head have leapt up in recent years. So with that in the back of their minds, come Tuesday night, you know, anything that touches somebody's head, it's going to be tough for people to get off. I think at the
very
moment.
Reactive, isn't it?
Yeah, right. I think it is. And look, and part of me says, well, you know, okay, that's where we should go. Mm. Another part of me looks at that tackle and goes, gee, that guy doesn't deserve.
Well, the example is obviously the crusher and what they did with that young guy from the Raiders a couple of weeks ago, and he got 5 or 6 weeks, which was probably a little bit harsh, but they're trying to stamp something out of the game, and there has been a lot of focus on that over the last couple of years, is when those playmakers dig right into the line and they relax, but they need to get that call right, because we can't have playmakers having things all their own way and going right into the line and then not being able to be, hit as well.
Contact, yeah.
So it's a fine line that they need to walk on Tuesday night, and you're right, Origin's a decider,
it's a big moment in anyone's career.
Yep.
And at some point they need to consider that for this player that, you know, they potentially could go out and try and make a real case against it and try and stamp this out of the game. It needs to go out of the game.
Yeah, we all agree.
But it needs to happen the right way.
But how, if you're Tarik Sims, because we're saying it's hard to, it's too late to pull out of that, how do you try and avoid that then? Because we're saying,
well,
by the letter of the law.
And that's why so, we're saying so then how do we? Suspended.
Yeah,
it's just the ones that
so
are blatantly late.
They're just a couple that it's so
that
unlucky.
It's so unlucky,
and there are going to be injuries like that.
Absolutely.
So those ones, there's nothing really you can do about it.
You have time on the field to make a decision. And a lot of the ones that we've seen in the past where, you know, guys engage and they're like, I'm going to get you, you know, I'm going to make this tackle no matter what, regardless how early you pass the ball. And it's a chance for me as an intimidating back rower to get at one of the playmakers. And every chance I get, I'm going to take that opportunity. Last night, it wasn't about that. I thought Morgan came into the line far enough that Tarik Sims was going to, you know, make contact
fair play,
regardless. And that's the situation, and they just need to be careful.
What about the game itself? It was a crucial win for the Dragons. I think they're now still 2 points outside of the eight, but they had to get there, and they got the job done. A couple of their State of Origin players backing up, obviously, and Paul Vaughan was pretty crook, I understand, before game and at halftime, physically ill. But the back end, he and Tyson Frizzell stood up beautifully, didn't they?
Yeah, well, they certainly did, but there was a bit of trouble getting to the game for some of those players.
Apparently, Jeremy Lattimore, yeah.
Yeah, Jeremy Lattimore had to, because there was an accident in Wollongong and just near the university, and then Jeremy Lattimore hitched a ride on a motorbike. That's so good. Everyone loves Jeremy Lattimore anyway, but it's such
so
a...
So somebody didn't know, he's just going to jump on the back.
He's just asked, because Tristan actually told me when I got home last night, he goes, Dad, you hear about Jeremy Lattimore? I said, you know what, I think Brad Walter or something tweeted it. Brad Walter, he tweeted it, and we talked about it on Triple M last night. So he obviously got it. And Dufty only got there 10 or 15 minutes before warm-up.
Yeah.
So there was a couple of the boys, but I think the Cowboys, they started really well, obviously 10-0, Drinkwater, really good buy. Yep. He's just got something about him. I can understand why he was Melbourne's, you know, first pick as fullback, and obviously there's an injury there. So obviously the way that he started was really good. He scored a try, he scored 10-0. The Dragons, they seem lethargic early, but they're lucky. Ben Hunt, he put a little kick in before halftime. Ravaloa, he's playing some really good football now. He's starting to understand the mechanics of you know, rugby league and where it's at now. He scored a nice try before half time, which, you know, certainly helped them. If they don't get that try, the Dragons, they're struggling. And as you said, Tone, in that second half, you know, Corey Norman, Ben Hunt, they played well, but those forwards, Frizzell stepped up. I think he made a mistake, and after that, he was like a red rag to a bull.
Yeah, they got them home, didn't they, in the second half? Because in the first half, the Cowboys forwards were dominant. Yep. I think Taumalolo made 170 or 80 metres once again. Bolton and McLean were pretty solid as well. What'd you make of, I mean, Dufty scored that try, but there are a couple of the high balls that he fumbled as well.
How
do you get that confidence?
Well, for me, Dufty's got to make up his mind. When I watch Matt Dufty play, he needs to have a look at a Tedesco or a Billy Slater over the last couple of years. Mate, he can score a try, make a play like he did in that second half, you know, off the Corey Norman kick. But when he gets to the ball, he's got to make up his mind if he's going to run or is he going to pass. He sort of gets to the ball and thinks, what am I going to do? Mate, with his speed, get there, run as fast as you can. And then when those high balls go up, some of those kicks were hard. He got caught under it once or twice. I just think he's got a couple mistakes in his game, and that's why Mary drops him in and out of first grade. He's got to work a bit harder on that, but he's such a talent. He nearly scored one in that first half down the right-hand corner there. But I just think for me, Dufty is a must in that team, but he's got to get those little mistakes out of his game.
What do you think over the next few weeks? They've got a few home games to go now, the Dragons, although next week they won't have their Origin players.
Melbourne Storm,
Melbourne will also be missing some Origin players. They've got South Sydney, I think, in the mix coming up as well, who are struggling a little bit. It's an important little period for them.
Well, they're 2 points out of the eight, aren't they? And they've had a whole... I know there's been a lot of clubs so far in 2019 suffered for some pretty serious injuries to some key personnel. But, I mean, the Dragons have certainly had their share and they've struggled for continuity within those key positions. They get Corey Norman back. He makes a hell of a difference to that side. I mean, what he does, he just gets them in really good positions on the field at the end of their sets to make sure that they, you know, they get their defence and everything in order. So he does a lot of the little things. I know he's known Corey Norman as a guy that can make things happen, you know, when they've got football. But I've been watching the way that he plays and how about he goes about his business at the Dragons. And he plays with a real maturity, and I think that allows Ben Hunt to play a different role. Like, Ben's obviously transitioning in from dummy half from Queensland into halfback at the Dragons, and that would be really hard to do. But last night I just found that He didn't overplay his hand, Ben. Yep. He just sort of went about his business. He did what he needed to do. He wasn't at his best, but the confidence that having Norman outside him gives Ben Hunt just to be able to go out there and do his thing, knowing that the side's going to get where they need to. I think he's been a great inclusion. He's been a great acquisition for the Dragons, and they get so much value out of Corey Norman. He's key. And, yeah, the next couple of weeks, they'll get a good test, won't they? Even though Melbourne will lose a couple of players and so will the Dragons, they'll still have the likes of Smith. You know,
that's right.
And they're in good form at the moment, so they'll find out where they're at.
What's good about Melbourne is that they've got a lot of international sort of flavour about the team, New Zealand players, Fijians, so, you know, a Papua New Guinean player there. So they don't really lose too many players, you know, around that origin time.
With Corey Norman, he's been on the Maroons' radar for a while. Given Mbai really didn't play a whole heap of minutes in either of the origins, would you consider bringing Corey Norman in on the bench?
You're picking our team between you and MG. You keep picking it. Yeah, you go.
Just a thought.
He definitely needs to come into calculations. I mean, they need to make some changes, and we're not going to go into the origin thing now.
Yet.
But they're pretty set with their halves, aren't they? They've got their skipper there and 5'8" in Munster, who's been in really good form. Norman can't really play anywhere else. Like, they've gone traditionally for a 14 like Mbai that can play in the halves but can also play on an edge in a back row and also play dummy half at a pinch if they need.
And then you've got Morgan in the centre, so there's another
half. I don't think Norman could do that, could cover those roles. He could really only specifically go on maybe in the outside backs and definitely in the halves.
I'd like to see, I reckon you're right, but I'd like to see him in there. We'll ask Kevy Walters later when he comes on.
Yeah, sure. Good idea. Yeah.
Is he talking to you, Kevy, is he?
Yeah, I hope so.
Is he returning calls yet of yours?
I called him yesterday. He didn't return my call, but I think he was in Adelaide, so a bit of a time difference.
Can't use phones in Adelaide, is that what's
No, but like? I think he was busy. He might have been doing some pre-Fox stuff.
Have you bagged him out or something? Is he off you?
No, not at all. No, I think the only thing I said, no, we stay in touch, but the only thing I said, I wasn't big on the coach whisper and not giving New South Wales the credit or saying the Blues. But I heard Kevy the other day, he said the Blues twice, did he?
Yeah.
So is he sweet now?
I think he's sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll chat with him a bit later on anyway. Yeah. we're going to get to the Stat Storm game over the Roosters in beautiful Adelaide last night as well. Look at that tyre power scoreboard, 14 points to 12. Chris Lawrence will join us. Kevy is coming up as well. So much ahead on Saturday Triple M NRL. Lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you. The state of origin is always a conversation of, you know, historically mate against mate, the idea of teammates lining up on opposite sides. Is it even more difficult? I was just watching last night when the Roosters taking on the Storm in beautiful Adelaide and seeing Finucane crashing into Boyd Cordner.
Boyd Cordner, going hard at each other, didn't they?
Just like minutes after they've been teammates celebrating that great win in Perth. That seemed to me like even trickier than in State of Origin because everybody's in that moment.
Yeah.
When you go back to the club football and there's a guy who you've gone through a lot with, you go crash straight in.
You just wire differently when you know that you're in Origin, you've got a job to do, and then 2 or 3 days later, I remember, in Origin, you'd be playing against someone that you're like, and that's just part and parcel of it, and then you'd be back in camp with them a week or two later. It's the way it is. Rugby league, it's a very different sort of sport, you know?
Do you go out looking for, I know sometimes in Origin players say they go out looking for their club teammates. Would that be the same, come back to club level, someone that you've just been teammates with, do you want to have it over them?
No, not really. But I think it's about going back and trying to back it up. The hardest thing about playing Origin is sort of backing up mentally. So Wayne used to try and get us. And so for me, it was more about me preparing and playing well rather than go out there and, whether it was Matt Singh or, one of the boys I wanted to get it over Matt Singh, because he was the other winger, or Brett Dallas or someone.
But you certainly wouldn't want to injure your Origin teammate.
Boys play, though. Yeah. Finucane and Cordner last night, I mean, their role is, just those tough carries. And, I remember the shot you're talking about and he flew out of the line looking for Boyd and... I don't think he quite got him, but the intent was certainly there, and I'm sure they'll have a bit of a laugh about that when they go into camp over the next few days.
14-12, the Storm got the job. The games in Adelaide, I think, was 9-8 last year, very close. 12-all at half-time, and just the penalty goal to the one and only Cam Smith. He can work
too
a
good.
Penalty, can't he?
You didn't think it was warranted?
He carries on, though, doesn't he?
He's been hanging on.
That was a Logie Award-winning performance.
He gets himself tangled up, Cam. Like, mate, I felt sorry for Victor
he's just awkward, isn't he?
Yeah. He's got it down pat. But Victor Radley, like, he just got him a beauty. And then when Cam got up and said, "Oh, like, sir," like, he just, you know,
been doing it all day,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, of course.
All night.
Too good.
I thought Melbourne would win that, given the fact that they're still Kieran Hargreaves and that out in the form that the Storm are in. I think the Roosters have lost four of their last five now, so they're in a little bit of a dry patch. But I thought they were, even though they had a lot of possession and that in the first half,
better team, eh?
Couldn't really crack. I kind of get the feeling. Yep. Everyone's talking about the Storm and they're 6 points away now, but you bring those boys back into that Rooster side. I thought they took a real step back in the right direction tonight with some of the areas of their game. I think Trenton Robinson would be really happy. They didn't get the 2 points, and I know that's what it's all about, but I think they made some real steps in the right direction about getting back to where they were at the start of the season. Last night, a super impressive game, and I thought both sides were brilliant.
Mate, they bombed about four tries. I mean, you guys will see it. But yeah, Rhea Hargreaves, Keary, and then Jake Friend. Mate, those three players coming back, and at the
Ryan
moment,
Hall pulled out later as well.
Tupanua was sick. Yeah. They had a number of late changes.
Yeah. Five or six changes.
But that's what you expect from the Roosters in Melbourne. They're teams that they can bring players in and do the job. Like Trent Robinson after the game, I saw him interviewed, I think we all did. He wasn't too unhappy with that.
No, he actually said he has a number of times at the beginning of the season when they won games said that wasn't good enough and slammed their performance when they won. But he actually said, sure, he's disappointed, but it was a gritty performance. Mm. He saw plenty of positives. The foundations were there. So that's one of the first times this year I've heard him not completely angry after a loss. He said there were certainly positives to take out of that game, which there were, given the number of players we're missing.
For sure. And Gerds, also, look, when we were sitting there in Perth, we're sitting there and obviously waiting for our flight. I think the New South Wales boys went straight to Adelaide.
They did.
So it was the Boyd Cordner, Craig Fitzgibbon, and, you know, James Tedesco. I'm thinking, like, you just, and now they're going to be back in camp next week, but so pretty good effort.
There was just some errors, and that'll
Teddy's
be
error,
the other part about it. Like, I mean, there was just some errors coming out of their own end in that second half where they know that if they go away, they can be better.
Yep.
And I think they'd take a lot of confidence out of that. And their defence was defence both sides.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so far ahead of the competition defensively, and we know every year, you know, usually the best defensive sides win the premiership. So you'd have to think at the moment those two sides, you know, apart from sitting where they are on the ladder, have to, you know, go into the back end of the season a fair bit away, especially given, you know, South Sydney's form of late and some of the other competitions.
How good is, like, you know, when you get injuries, but like Papenhuyzen comes in. You know, some players get like filthy and saying that they want to play either player. He doesn't care. He knows his job is on the bench, and he got told like the night before or whatever that, you know, he just looks so. I don't know why West Tigers let him go, but he's only, what, 85, 86 kilos? Yeah.
Well, his official profile, I think he is a bit bigger. His official profile says 80.
Yeah.
But I think he'd be still, slightly bigger
you reckon?
Than that.
I don't think he'd be much bigger than 80.
I don't think so.
Apparently, Tom Dearden, officially, Tom Dearden.
Looks deceiving
and he
him. I'm only 78 kilos.
Mate,
he's the equal smallest with Tom Dearden, equal lightest.
But you know, what I love about him, and I think a lot of young players should look at this, the way that even he spoke about, like, whether it's Billy Slater, the coaching, like, you don't have to be in a rush to get there. Like, he knows if he could probably go to a club now and get $400,000 or $500,000 somewhere, but he wants to stay there and find a position there. He's probably going to have to move in a couple of years anyway because, you know, I don't know where you're going to play him.
We're actually going to chat with Ryan Papenhuyzen a little bit later
really?
In the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll ask him then.
And he got a big tick from the coach. And he talks about his pace, and that's what he's got, hasn't he?
One of those he's tough too for, you know, when you're that size. You've got to be
tough.
Yeah,
but he might be happy with that sort of role, Wendell. I mean, you spoke about Hughes, but he's obviously going to, there's going to be moments during the season, and, you know, you don't know where Cam's going to be in the next couple of years where that role, especially the way the game's moving now with, you know, so much speed around the rucks being so important in the back end of halves, and if we're going to take the interchange rule down another couple to six and whatever, guys like him being versatile guys that can play basically anywhere in your back line or coming off the bench late in halves if they can, you know, put their body in front like he does with defence and happy to put his head in the middle of the field, they're going to be priceless.
Yep.
They're going to be guys that just come on and every club's going to want a piece of those and not necessarily being defined in one position in a few years' time mightn't be looked upon like it has been in the past.
Sure. Yep.
What about the play at the end there where the ball goes in goal, Papenhuyzen just like speed just gets out of there.
Thought he was going to score.
But it looks inside and he's got Josh Adokar there and he throws it to in the centre. And I was just going, they just play such an entertaining style of football. When
they are entertaining. Yeah. It was 1v2, two absolutely entertaining football teams, two glamour sides in the NRL. Played Adelaide. And how many people were there?
There were 16,000. Yeah, which for a game like that, you would think...
You'd hope for more.
Was there something else on in Adelaide?
There was... Geelong played the Crows.
A TV game. But still, we were discussing, do you try and put it on a night where one of the Adelaide teams isn't playing, even if it's a television game, because people may be more inclined to just stay home and watch the AFL on TV.
I think that's absolutely valid. That it's a huge game, the Crows versus Geelong. And
yes,
a lot of those people would have been thinking, oh, I'm going to watch that game, obviously. There's plenty on Adelaide. I mean, there was a croquet tournament, I think, going on.
The Rams, were the Rams having a run, training run down the road?
But, you know, it's like, mate, I reckon like a game like that, mate, make it on a Sunday afternoon. When you go, you want the whole experience on a Sunday. I know it's hard, it's around Origin time, but on a Sunday, you're walking to Adelaide Oval, it's that whole experience.
Yep. The man we're about to speak to now is the captain of the mighty, mighty St. George Illawarra Dragons. I'm, of course, talking about Cameron McGuinness. G'day, mate.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Very, very well, thank you, and very happy to see the red and white machine back in order yesterday evening. Good win, important win.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, the last month or two has been pretty challenging, and, yeah, we had our moments last night as well, but, yeah, it was good to sort of, I guess, fight through a little bit on the field and come out the other end, which is a pleasing sign.
Had some moments before the game too. Jeremy Lattimore's arrival on the back of a motorbike. Talk us through that.
Don't remind me, mate. He hasn't stopped talking about it.
Oh, yeah. What is your hero? I knew he'd love it.
Oh, mate, the story's just growing each time he tells it as well. So,
how disruptive was it, though, obviously, with that accident and then all the guys sort of coming in just a little bit late before warm-up? Did it sort of you guys started pretty slowly. Do you think that had an effect?
Oh, maybe, mate. I don't know. Everyone was pretty relaxed in the sheds because it was just the whole area was, there was just cars everywhere. So I think everyone was pretty accepting that it was what it was. But whether it had something to do with the start, I'm not sure. But yeah, I don't know. At least we found a way out of a buck, which is good. So.
Yeah, Cam, mate, Wendell Sutherland, mate, speaking of start, obviously, you were down 10-0. But can I just ask, when you see a guy like Tamalolo there, like, What's your homework on him? Because, you know, if you race out the line to try and, you know, pick him up, and I know your line speed's always really good, what's the process here to stopping someone that big agility?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I tried my luck in the first half and he ran straight over. So, you're right, mate. I think it's just about you got to have, you know, three guys going at him together because he's got the late footwork and everything as well. So, you know, in that first half, we probably weren't going together, and then in the second half we sort of sorted out a little bit, but you know, a player like that, you can sort of only limit what he's going to do. But yeah, mate, he's a freak, really.
Well, while he was quite dominant in the first half, the likes of Frizzell and Vaughan really stepped it up in the back end of that game. How inspirational are those players coming back from Origin, and particularly given Paul Vaughan, I believe, was even vomiting before the game and at half time?
Yeah, they were massive for us, and you know, for them to play 5 days after a big game and play the way they did, just shows who they are. And yeah, he was a bit crook before the game, but I guess it just shows who he is as well to be able to play the way he did. And you know, they've been really, those two in particular, have been really good for us. We've had some injuries and things like that. Bit of change to the forward pack, but they've been pretty consistent week in, week out, which you obviously want your rep players. So, yeah, lucky to have them.
Did Vaughan make it to the bathroom, or did he let you share in that entire experience?
A couple of the boys vomited on the during warm up, actually. So we had to sort of move the warm up a couple of meters to the left. But, yeah, so there was a bit happening
before
the game. But
had they all eaten something? What was it?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. Vaughan turned up at the game with a big burrito bowl, so I don't know if I'd be eating that before the game.
Oh, wow.
We spoke about, obviously, some of the forwards in the side, and we had a good chat here earlier about Corey Norman and the influence he's had on your team. How's it been trying to work with him? He looks like a pretty relaxed sort of character, but he's obviously key to your role as well because you're a dummy half there and you need to form good combinations with these guys. Have you enjoyed working with Corey?
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, he's so relaxed and composed, and obviously as a hooker, that makes your life easy because he's just calm and talking, and he doesn't shut up the whole game, which is what you want. So, yeah, he's a he's been unreal for us, and obviously we missed him when he was out. Since he's been back, you know, he's helped us a lot, and you know, off the field he's a really good guy as well. So he's been a great addition to us.
Talking to Dragon skipper Cameron McGuinness. It was good to see your coach have a crack back at Paul Green over the Tarek Sims tackle in the press conferences after the game. Yet the bad news for Tarek, obviously, and the Dragons and the Blues is that he has been charged and would miss 2 weeks. How did you see all that?
Yeah, obviously I heard about Mary cracking back. He obviously always sticks up for us, which we love about him. But, I don't understand why he's been charged for that.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, he's a strong boy, Tarek, and yeah, obviously Michael Morgan felt it. I hope he's okay, but, you know, that's the game we play and things like that are going to happen. But, yeah, hopefully, I don't know if he's going to fight it, but hopefully he will and he'll be able to get off because I know there's a lot of things about head knocks and that, but if you change the game by getting things like that out of it, then I don't know what the game's going to become. So, yeah, hopefully some sense comes into it, I suppose.
Hey, Cam, mate, you've got some young players in the group there. There's a bloke that, you know, mate, when he scores or when he's on, he scores some great tries. Matt Duffy, I think the last 8 games at Wynn Stadium, he scored 7 tries there, so he can find the line. So for him, but, you know, when he makes a mistake, he gets down on himself. Like, for a young guy like that, what's your advice to him? Because, mate, when he's on fire, he's hard to stop.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, a lot of young players go through those confidence, you know, ups and downs and things like that. But, you know, for me, I'm quite close with him just throughout the game. I just try to talk to him about keeping his involvement high, whether it's in, obviously, attack or defence, you know, just making sure that he's around the footy and things like that. And so that, you know, because if an error does happen, you're there to sort of, you know, do something to fix it or get over it quickly. And, you know, last night it was good to see that. Obviously, had an error in the first half, but I thought he responded really well. And
yeah,
you know, because that's the key. Like, he's Billy Slater. Like,
yeah, 100%.
He used to make plenty of errors, but he just moved straight on to the next thing. And I think that's for a fullback and a player of his ability. That's the best way to be. So I think, you know, he'll keep learning that and get better.
And he nearly scored a try in the first half. There, he just put his foot on the line. Like, there was nothing doing there, but he just made something happen, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. That's the type of player he is, and there's not too many players that can do some of the things he can. So, you know, and he works really hard on all the other little small things that he needs to bring to the team. But you know, when you have someone like him who can score a try out of nowhere, you know, it's pretty dangerous. So, yeah, definitely.
Hey Cam, you're playing the Storm next week. Obviously, there's going to be a few people out given the Origin period. Tony is a big fan, as I'm sure you're aware. He only watches your games when he knows that you're a good chance of winning. Now, should he tune in next week? Melbourne are playing pretty well at the moment, or should he just plan his weekend right now?
If I'm concerned, Cameron, it's not that. It's just out of love.
I record it,
and it hurts me too much if the Dragons are going poorly. So then I go check the score, and then I'll go and watch that section. And then if the other team, I can't even say the name of the other team, Coach Whisperer style, then I back off again. It's nothing
wrong
with
that. What do you think, Cam? Can he tune in? Big game next week against Melbourne?
I'm not sure about that type of fan anyway.
That's right.
Captain, my captain, don't say that.
Would you like to see Tony Squires banned from attending any Dragons game with that kind of attitude?
Can we start a petition?
Yeah.
Well, he's actually got the Swans as well. He's a Swans Dragons, you know.
Okay, the red and white. Yeah. No, I think I'll definitely tune in. It'll be a great game. It'll be a big challenge for us, definitely. We have some of our more experienced players out, but you know, with that, there'll be some younger guys that get an opportunity, and, you know, that always brings enthusiasm, and they'll have a couple guys out as well, but, you know, it'd be a good test for us if we get to play at home.
I would imagine, Cam, like, it would be for you to come up against a guy like Cameron Smith and probably counting now down the amount of times that you can, you know, play against a guy like that, it would be a real exciting week preparation-wise and a challenge that I guess you would really look forward to.
Yeah, definitely. I've played against Cam Smith a few times now, and yeah, it's always great, and it's always something that I look forward to doing, and just for our team as well. it's big for us because, yeah, we've had some rough patches, but we've had a couple times this year where we put a better performance together, and then the next week we don't follow it up. So this is a great opportunity for us to build on last night, but also have that challenge of playing against a real quality side with a few of our better players out as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, Cam, this last one, James Graham, mate, I probably didn't realise, so I've done a couple of functions with him. You know, he's a very articulate sort of bloke, but even him now, like, donating, you know, his brain or something, you know, when he passes away, that's massive, isn't it, because of the concussion rules and what's happening now.
What, his brain or the fact that he's going to give it away?
When he finishes, because, mate, if a bloke said
it's both massive.
It's a big call.
Yeah.
So how do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, you're definitely right with how articulate, Jammer is. He's always studying things, and if he ever, makes a point or raises something in the media, you know that he's done his research and things like that. For him, obviously, he's had, a bit of a past with head knocks and, some challenges in the media about it. But, it is big for him to do that. And, it is a sensitive topic, and I understand. Yeah. For the game, we want it to be safe for kids and people playing it. As a player, I'd like to think that every player knows the risks about, what we do, and the game's working with us to make it safer. But at the same time, it is your life, and we choose to do what we do because it brings us joy. So. But for him to do that, bring a bit more light to it and study and see what the complications can be, it'll only be good, I suppose.
Yeah. Beautiful. Cameron McGuinness, great to talk to you. Thanks so much for sharing some time with us on a Saturday arvo.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Cam.
Cheers, mate.
Have a nice weekend, buddy. Yeah. And the Dragons captain, Cameron McGuinness, thanks for dropping me in that, Goods. That was terrific.
Yeah, you're a good bloke. Terrific, yeah. That's typical New South Wales bloke just dropping each other.
Did he confirm you weren't allowed to attend any more games?
No, he didn't.
Yeah, and thanks for putting that out there, too.
Thank you. Leave it up to the captain. Yeah. I wouldn't make the decision. Yeah.
I donated my brain a couple of weeks ago. They took it. Nothing seemed to have changed. That's interesting. We're going to
talk. I tried and they said no, thank you.
We're going to talk Origin ahead on Saturday Triple M NRL. Should have mentioned then, as we spoke with Cameron McGuinness, that whenever we do interviews, and we enjoy doing our interviews, we're doing Thanks to Celebrations, helping you celebrate Wendell Saylor, Ryan Gurley, Tony Squires.
Actually, speaking of Dragons, I know you were talking, I didn't interrupt you. The Dragons,
one at a time, Wendell.
The Dragons reserve grade side of today, Canterbury Cup, they're playing Penrith today.
Is that right?
Yeah, quarter past one.
Okay. There's a loss for him, Tony. Don't watch that one.
That's on. That'll be on Fox Sports, so we'll have a look.
Okay. Is Tristan play?
Yes, he is. He's playing the centres today.
Centres?
Yes.
They move him around a bit, don't they?
Oh, mate, he's that talented. He's like he's like his mum. He's talented.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Origin, we're going to speak with Queensland coach Kevin Walters a little bit later on in the show. Looking forward to that immensely. But just quickly, before we get to the top of the hour, who is going to, with Nathan Cleary, and he's still fighting and trying to make himself fit.
Is he?
I don't think he's got any chance, does he, Em?
Well, they were saying yesterday he's ahead of schedule and now might even be a 50-50 chance. Wow. When originally they said 4-6. Okay. So.
And how long will it be? So that'll be...
The thing is, he won't be able to train. I think it's highly unlikely.
Can I just say, what I would hate to see Freddie do is pick Wade Graham at 5'8", which I think...
Okay, why?
Because I just think that he is so... He gives them confidence, New South Wales. He's a tough player. He's quite fresh. He's had three or four games in 9 months. Yeah. He's just a player as a Queenslander that you just don't want to see in there because he's got all the skills.
But you're
toughness.
Saying, so don't pick him.
Yeah, for us. Yeah, no.
Let me ask you this, Wendell.
That's who I'd fear.
Okay. Wade Graham plays six and Queensland target Maloney.
Yeah.
Maloney somehow gets injured. What do New South Wales then do? If they haven't got a playmaker,
you're going to target Maloney.
What if something happens to Maloney during the game, and you've got Wade Graham there at six, and no sort of other
White in the centres, and then
White and Graham running the side,
but neither really a dominant half. That's why
fair point. But still,
Wade on the bench is good, don't you think?
It is good, but man, if I'm New South Wales, I would like to see. 80 minutes, I think Wade Graham.
He was sensational in that second Origin, no doubt about it.
He could do that.
If you could, if you could assure us that nothing was going to happen to Maloney, I would go with Graham as well.
But mate, Maloney very rarely it's injured. So like that's a big call from you. Like
that's why we have reserves though, isn't it?
Well, if he hadn't ducked under Felice Kaufusi's arm, he would have been very injured.
No,
and then Josh McGuire came and
obviously after him, Wendell.
Very grubby, Wendell. Very grubby.
Those things happen, mate. We're not playing tiddly. Winks or marbles, you know.
No, only when it suits you guys.
Aren't we?
No, we're not.
Okay.
So, only when they're playing for your club.
What are we playing again?
Well,
we're playing rugby league.
That's right.
And State of Origin, which again is a different game.
Would you guys pick Mitchell Pearce then?
Is that where we're going?
No problems in picking Mitchell Pearce.
Yeah. It would do
even
a job because
twice. He was injured, but are there concerns that maybe he was able to play but thought, I don't want to carry a niggle in? Like, you know, some people say he probably could have pushed through but wanted to be 100%.
I totally understand that.
I can understand.
If he's 100% fit and they give him the call, and I know, Mitchell well enough to know
how he would respond
and how he feels about playing for New South Wales, I'd have no qualms at all. And I think that's the danger. Like, I'd love to go with Maloney and Graham as well. I thought they were fantastic. But it's just such a risk, isn't it? You know, to not have a general playmaker, an on-ball playmaker on the field, and that the amount of pressure that would throw back onto, Wade and Cook to throw them out of their normal roles.
But tell me, how often have you seen James Maloney get injured? Like, to be honest, I know what you're saying, it's Origin. Come on, mate.
I know.
Yeah. So who do you want to see at 5'8"?
Well, I would go with Jimmy at 5'8" and Mitchell at halfback. If Mitchell's fit, if not,
and
then...
they've played together before as well.
Oh, of course.
They've won a grand final together with the Roosters. So that you would have him, Maloney would still want to be, you'd think, though, the dominator, would you?
Well, I think they can both shift in and out of those roles quite comfortably. I think that's what they did in the game last Sunday, where they both had their moments. Obviously, when Cleary went off, Jimmy just slotted in there. But I mean,
it becomes the story, doesn't it?
Jimmy's
a huge story.
It does.
If Mitchell Pearce comes in,
but Jimmy's performance in the first half—it
was so good, wasn't it?
Was brilliant, and that's where Nathan was on the field.
Yep.
And it didn't change really in the second half when Nathan was off the field. That just shows you that it doesn't matter to Jimmy whether or not he's too wide, whether he's, first receiver.
Yeah. Cleary was having his best game in Origin.
But he's going great.
What about his two defensive players? Like, he jolted the ball Kaufusi there, and he's such a big body too, and he doesn't try to overplay his hand, Nathan Cleary. And I mean, people go, he hasn't set up any tries in that, but it's just what he sort of does. I remember last year he pulled off a tackle on GI when GI went down the left hand side, and he just seems to put himself in the game. He never really plays a bad game.
No.
Yeah.
David Clemmer will come back which is terrific. We'll see if
tough call for Freddie this time though. I mean, given Tarek Sims
might go,
that's the way it might work. Is he definitely going to be available? Is he, Clemmer?
Well,
they're saying he should be available.
He will be available.
Saifidi was good.
Finucane,
mate. We all know that Dale Finucane. I think he's played 5 grand finals. We all know that he belongs in that Origin arena. And then, as Freddie, I think I heard Freddie say, like, he was just so good in camp, mate. He's one of those guys that everyone loves playing with.
He was so good in camp and really good with the media. So well spoken, and one of those players that everyone said really added to the group and that real sort of sense of camaraderie because he's a senior player. He's, been in good teams like the Melbourne Storm, been in grand finals, that type of thing.
Canterbury,
So
we're going to speak with Kevin Walters around 2 o'clock. Make sure you tune in to hear what he has to say. Before we do that, Wendell, is it for Queensland? Is it? Are there changes? Do you see Kevy pulling that rope?
Oh, look, I think, Queensland, we're a pretty loyal bunch, but I think there might be a couple of changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Christian Walsh. Oh, look, Christian Walsh, and I think Joe Afongeau will come back into the side.
Yeah, well, he was good in first Origin. Yep.
So I think those two will come back in. I don't think we'll see too many more changes than that.
All right, we'll find out what the coach has to say at, as I said, about 2 o'clock. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Fareem Hot Water. Triple M Footy.